From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, May 11th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listener support and by Modern Pest Services, committed to taking an intelligent approach to pest control. Learn more at modernpest.com. And by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
The Maine CDC today reported 26 new cases of COVID-19, one additional death, and three new outbreaks in congregate settings. The fatality, Maine's 65th to date, was a man in his 70s from Cumberland County. Maine CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah says there are four confirmed cases at the Residential Community Support Services Group in Sanford and three cases at the Granite Bay Care Facility in Brunswick. Shah says the CDC is also investigating three cases at the Maple House, a campus for Spurwink, a facility for children that provides behavioral health and education services.
We're trying to figure out, actually, if it's a singular, discrete outbreak or part of an existing outbreak affiliated with some other centers in the area.
Shah says all three of the outbreaks were reported today. The CDC reports a total of 1,462 cases of COVID-19 statewide and 872 recoveries. Meanwhile, retailers in the 12 Maine counties that have not experienced large numbers of coronavirus cases have begun reopening. The new guidelines announced late last week by Governor Janet Mills allow retail stores to reopen today with enhanced safety precautions in all parts of Maine, except York, Cumberland, Androscoggin, and Penobscot counties. Central Maine Power is agreeing to create a $500,000 fund to assist customers who've been affected by the pandemic. CMP agreed to the measure in a deal with the state's public advocate after the company was accused of sending customers false threats of wintertime service disconnection. The Public Utilities Commission still needs to weigh in on the proposed settlement. One lawmaker who helped bring the misleading notices to light says the company should be fined more and give back money it received in response to the disconnection threats. And a group charged with developing and recommending mitigation and adaptation strategies for the state of Maine is looking for public comment on its ideas. The group, the Natural and Working Lands Working Group, is slated to present potential actions to the Maine Climate Council. The Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation and Forestry said the group's looking at strategies that reduce gross and net annual greenhouse gas emissions from Maine's natural and working land sectors. The Agriculture Department said the group is taking comments until May 13th. The group's draft strategies are available online. In weather tonight, showers south, rain north in the evening, changing to snow after midnight with up to 5 inches in the northwest. Overnight lows in the low 30s to the low 40s. The State Department of Environmental Protection and the Land Use Planning Commission signed off today on vital land use permits that Central Maine Power needs for its proposed 151-mile power line through western Maine. Fred Bever has that story.
The permits include dozens of conditions the agencies say will mitigate damage to forest values. They give special attention to reducing habitat fragmentation by a 51-mile section of all new timber cuts CMP wants that would stretch between the Canadian border to Carrituck. But that isn't enough to satisfy several environmental groups, including the state's largest, the Natural Resources Council of Maine. NRCM scientist Nick Bennett says, for instance, that a requirement to taper tree heights on each side of the line in the westernmost section depends on wholesale removal of all trees above a certain height. Instead of a forest-like transition zone, he says, the result would be a patchwork of skinny trees.
It's not going to help with fragmenting effects. It's not going to support creatures that need mature forest to survive, like many species of birds and pine martens. And it's not going to provide shade or large wood inputs to brook trout streams.
NRCM and other opponents also argue that although the project ostensibly would bring low-polluting hydroelectricity to the region, there is no guarantee that it would actually reduce overall emissions of greenhouse gases. But two prominent environmental groups, the Nature Conservancy and the Conservation Law Foundation, say the potential pollution reductions make the project worthwhile. CLF attorney Phelps Turner says a balance needs to be struck between
the need to face the climate crisis with the impacts of individual projects on individual states like Maine, where a lot of CLF staff lives and works.
Turner says the DEP permit did include language that should make the tree tapering program more effective. And he notes that CMP would now be required to set aside some 40,000 acres of land in western Maine to be permanently protected for conservation. The project would supply electricity for customers in Massachusetts. Maine voters will get their chance to register their views in a November ballot question, which, if approved, would direct state utility regulators to void a permit they issued last year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
It's been 8 weeks since dental offices in Maine have been closed for routine care. During that time, minor dental issues in some patients have progressed into emergencies. Dentists are included in the state's first stage of reopening, but conflicting guidance has stymied their efforts to resume their practices. And in the meantime, they say their patients are suffering. Patty White has more.
3 days before dental offices closed for elective procedures due to the coronavirus pandemic, Tori LaJoy of Vassalboro had a broken tooth pulled. Afterwards, she says it was sore and didn't feel like it was healing right.
I called up and asked them to look at it, and that's when they told me that the virus was going around and that they were closed. They only did emergencies.
This marked the beginning of what would become a weeks-long effort for LaJoy to get care. She says she was prescribed antibiotics multiple times as her pain persisted and her jaw became swollen.
Again, I was calling around. Nobody's taking patients.
She says she doesn't know why her issue wasn't considered an emergency, but it became one. She ultimately had to go to an oral surgeon who told LaJoy the infection was in her jawbone.
And that's why I was in so much pain. And he ended up having to pull a bunch of teeth to relieve the pressure that I truly didn't want pulled, but had to.
LaJoy says she spent a few days in the hospital recovering. The oral surgeon who treated her, Portland-based Dr. Killian McCarthy, says he's witnessing an increasing number of emergencies.
The amount of infections I've seen over the 8 weeks so far are more than I've seen in a year normally.
McCarthy says patients have come from as far as Bangor seeking care, some by ambulance. Dr. Whitney Wignall, a pediatric dentist in Portland, says her office is also seeing a surge of emergencies.
You know, on a given day for emergencies, we might see 5 patients now. In the beginning, we were maybe seeing 1.
Both Wignall and McCarthy say emergencies are erupting because dental offices are still closed for routine care. Dentists are included under Stage 1 of Maine's plan to reopen the economy, but the plan directs them to follow the guidance of the U.S. CDC, which says that dental care should be limited to emergencies only. Maine Department of Health and Human Services Commissioner Jean Lambrew acknowledged that conflict last Friday during a daily state briefing on the coronavirus.
We're trying to approach this process through a collaborative way with our healthcare partners, but this is the rare example of the U.S. CDC being at odds with the American Dental Association.
Lambrew says dentists have to wait until the federal CDC changes its guidance. If that doesn't happen in the coming days, she says Maine will consider issuing its own. But she's emphasized that the state prefers to use federal recommendations. Dr. McCarthy is unsatisfied with that response.
Having Commissioner Lambrew say that we can't open indefinitely until the federal CDC says yes is, I think, short-sighted because Maine is going to continue to suffer.
Other states are allowing dentists to reopen. According to a map on the American Dental Association's website, at least 31 states have reopened dental offices for elective procedures. Some states, such as New Hampshire, aren't reflected in that number, but officials issued guidelines for resuming routine care last week. Dr. Wignall says Maine dentists should be allowed to open with limitations.
Nobody's asking to go back and do elective or cosmetic type of procedures, but we really need to be allowed to treat necessary treatment. You know, it is a disease. It's a disease process. If left unchecked, it has really negative ramifications.
One of Wignall's patients, a 10-year-old boy, had an appointment to have a cavity filled in mid-April that had to be postponed due to the state shutdown. His mom, Kristen Duchesne, says she worked with Wignall to try to first manage it with ibuprofen and Tylenol.
And whatnot, and it was just band-aiding it. And it got to the point one night he was just screaming in pain.
By then, it was deemed an emergency, and Duchesne was able to bring in her son. She says the pain is gone now, but she doesn't think he should have had to wait for it to become an emergency. Duchesne hopes the state will allow dental offices to reopen soon.
I mean, hospitals still have to function. They still have to see patients, you know, for different reasons. They're making it work. You know, when we have to go, we had to go to emergency care a couple weeks ago for something one of the kids, and, you know, they make it work, so why can't they make it work for dentists? Why is that any less important?
The American Dental Association is also pressing the federal CDC to update its guidance to reflect the fact that dental practices in some states are opening for non-emergency care. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation about getting involved in citizen science, even during the pandemic. I'm Nora Flaherty.